then you really start to engage in that paradigm, I think you are automatically, you're starting to consider what worship really is.
Worship is the time that I get to tell him how amazing he is, how he has saved me, he's changed me, he's my life, my hope, everything.
The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people, and if that's how we really see it, God is there with us, and we're supposed to be paying honor and giving reverence to a God who's actually in our midst. And that's huge. I mean, that's a really incredible thing.
For me, worship is, I think worship is more than singing, you know? But I think as guys, we want to worship by doing stuff. So everything that we do, whether we're loving our wife, raising our kids, playing sports, or just driving around, and like even our business and how we use our money and our finances, responding to God and all the things that he's given us, I believe that is worship.
Music worship is, it's a beautiful expression of worship, like singing and all of that, but it's not the essence, it's not the core. The core is my mind and my heart and my will, you know, searching after or following God's mind and his heart and his will. And so it's every part of my life, or it should be.
Anytime I think I find myself doing what I feel like God has made me to do, that which I'm naturally gifted in, whether that's connecting in the arts or organizing and inspiring a bunch of people to do something beyond what they think their capacity is, I think that that's always inclining towards giving God glory.
Worship is when I take my eyes off of myself and I put my eyes on him. Worship in a practical sense is I shut my eyes, I shut out the world, I think about him, I focus on him. The words that I sing when I'm singing, I become those words. I want those words to be more than just a song. And if you take worship out of my life, there is no life.
You know, the person in the grocery store line who's rude and just being gracious and kind and covering them where they fall short and I fall short and being gracious. And so I look at that as a form of worship because the essence and core is my mind and my heart and my will. And so surrendering that will in every facet of my life.
I heard somebody say just a couple days ago that every person worships something, whether they know it or not. It's what you platform. And so whether that's your car, or if it's your job, or the people that you hang out with, or God, you're the creator himself, you're always worshiping something. So I think we're creatures that were made to worship.
When I think about what worship is, it's very simple. It is a spontaneous response of respect at the revelation of God. When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he said that we need to worship in spirit and truth. So think about your spirit, your soul, the immaterial component of who you are, rising up like fountains of living water, reaching towards God, your heart wanting to worship God, your heart wanting to tell God how great he is, your heart wanting to thank God, your heart wanting to glorify God, and doing it in a spontaneous manner. Because once you release your heart and submit your will to God, your heart's gonna reach towards God on its own. And so worship is however you respond to that. And it's very important for us to do it not only spiritually, but with truth, to be honest with it. And whatever our heart tells us, whatever our heart instructs us to do, whatever our heart inspires us to do, while it reaches up to God, we just let it happen. And sometimes worship's gonna be confessing your sins, sometimes it's gonna be telling God how great he is, sometimes it's gonna be praying for other people. But God is gonna direct your heart on a spiritual level to guide and direct your thoughts, your words, your songs, your arms, your body movement. And worship is whatever response happens when your spirit starts to reach towards God.
It's important to worship together as a group of people, or as a congregation, or as a community, because I think that you get to see the effect of what God is doing across the city. So you've got people who are working with homeless and people who are working with kids in schools. You've got businessmen and athletes and students all coming together to give God glory for what he's doing in their worlds independently. And so when you ever, whenever you get all those people together corporately worshiping together, it's so intense. It's like God is being lifted up to the highest regard through voices of people who might not ever know each other, but they're all worshiping God for the same thing that he's doing. He's making change in their world. He's bringing hope to the hopeless. And I think that's what's so exciting and electric about worshiping together as a church.
The important part of worship to me is that it's together, that I'm standing beside somebody else with shared values. Even if they're on a journey, we don't have all the questions answered, but they're shared values. We both love God.
Well, I think when you come together with your church family on Sunday, it's something really special about experiencing God with your family members in the church body and just hearing your neighbors singing and just like a unity. So church is with a body, and you can't just be the church by yourself.
There are those times when I'm walking through things in my life and I need to see someone else love God. When I'm not feeling it, I need to know that they're feeling it and they encourage me.
When you worship, the enemy doesn't know what to do with himself. He becomes powerless when you worship. And so by you moving forward and moving past even your discomfort, because sometimes it's uncomfortable for some people to worship corporately because they feel inhibited. But when I worship uninhibited, I know that I give strength and freedom to the people around me.
When we experience worship, I think it puts us in our right place. So it puts God as a God who is sovereign and eternal and majestic. And it puts us in our place as finite and small.
When I'm raising my hands or I'm quiet and still, worshiping God with others around, it's inspiring. Reminds me that I'm a part of something truly bigger than myself. The whole, all of us together, make a bigger impact than me by myself.
You know, when it comes to worship, a lot of people are bottled up. They're not free yet. And the heart is trying to reach up to God. The heart is trying to express its love and appreciation for God, but their mind won't let them go. And the reason it's important to come to church on Sunday and get all the worship, corporate worship you can, is because in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says that we should consider one another, how to stir one another up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembly together. In other words, when we come to church, one of the benefits we have is to see other people worship. See how free other people are and see how they express that freedom. And it gives us the courage to let go. It gives us an example and we see role models of how to worship. And it encourages us, hopefully, to worship not only in church, but remember, church is the setup for the week. It's like in football when you have a huddle, people get in a huddle and they call it a play, and then you have to execute the play when you leave church. So when you come to church, you see people worshiping. That's only the beginning of the week. So when you come to church and see people worshiping and you're around other people who are lifting their hands or screaming at the top of their lungs or just eyes closed, however, you not only see what you can do, but you're encouraged to do it all week. And so it's very important to be around people who have been set free and also to be an encouragement to others who are watching you and seeing your example.
It's funny how on the way to church, it seems like the kids are fighting, tension between husband and wife. All these things take place when you're trying to just go and spend some time with God and with the people that you love. But it's crazy how all this stuff always will come up. Something will come up.
God is so great. He's amazing. He's flawless. He's holy. He's set apart. And when you really take an inventory on your own life and in your own world, you know that you just know the difference between who God is and who you are. So for me, I think often the barriers are getting hung up on myself, getting hung up on what I've done, or getting hung up on maybe that guilt of not being as close to God or even considering God outside of your Sunday routine. And I think that God is really over that.
Drew leaves early, so he's you know, off to church early in the mornings. She's one of the junior high pastors. So I'm kind of a single mom on Sundays. So getting three kids under five ready is quite a feat. And a lot of times on Sunday morning, it just feels like too much.
God, outside of whatever you've done or wherever you've been in the last 7 days, He wants you to engage with Him. And so for me, it's getting hung up on the crap that I do or the crap that I've been involved in. And the best engagement I ever have is when I just get over that and I worship God for who God is, despite who I am.
Now, if you think of worship as rivers of living water from your heart flowing up to God, and these rivers are the immaterial you, the unseen spiritual version of who you are. So you have your will is flowing up to God, your desires, your dreams. And the devil does not want your heart to rise up to God. He does not want living waters to flow. So he's going to block any way he can your heart from reaching up to God. And he's going to block it with thoughts that are distracting, with fears, the cares of the world. The Bible says that when the sower sowed seed in the ground, some sprouted up, but it was choked out by the cares of the world. So what the devil's going to do is anything he can to prevent your heart from reaching up to God, and prevent it from flowing like rivers of living water. And those obstacles are always going to be there day and night. So it's very critical for you to know that you're in a spiritual battle. And this is a spiritual thing. Remember, we have to worship God in spirit and truth. So the way to free your spirit is to resist the devil. The Bible says you resist the devil and he will flee. Also, one of the things that will prevent your heart from freely flowing is sin. You have guilt in your heart from lies you've told, lust you have, things you've done that you have not confessed to God. And so one of the ways I release my heart to God is to ask God to forgive me for sin in my heart, bitterness, pride, whatever it is. You have thoughts of apprehension of things that are going to happen tomorrow you're worried about that you shouldn't be worrying about. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of its worries. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And so just remember, you're in a spiritual battle and your heart is trying to reach up to God and worship. You have to prepare your heart. So what I do is when I come out here sometimes and I will be walking around praying, before my prayer time, even though it is my prayer time, I start to get all my thoughts, all my feelings, all my desires, my spiritual aspirations, all flowing in the same direction by submitting my heart to God, by confessing my sin, asking God to renew my mind and focus my thoughts. So all the rivers of my heart, all the tributaries that go into the river of my heart flow in one direction, and it's all clear, and I submit and surrender my will. God, take my will, clarify my thoughts. And when all that's flowing to God at one time, now I can get into worship. And that may take 5, 10, 15 minutes of just telling myself to focus and surrender my thoughts to Jesus and confessing my sin. And even though that's part of worship, it really gets me warmed up so I can really get into worship. It's like working out in the field. You got to run to warm up. You got to stretch to warm up. And even though that's exercise, you're just getting ready for the real deal. So before you worship, make sure you spend some time getting all your heart, your mind, and everything focused on Jesus, so everything about you flows in one direction.
When I prepare for worship, whether that's coming into Sunday service with everybody else who's there to worship, or if it's just engaging in the city down in the East Village, it's reminding yourself of who you are in God's big plan, in God's big picture. And once you figure out that you're not in control, nor are you going to stall my van out, when you realize that you're not in control, that God is in fact, He's orchestrating life in your own world, but also all around you. And so when you kind of remove yourself from that kingpin position, it just gets you in a place where you get to give God the glory that He deserves, man. You worship Him because He is everything in your world, whether you recognize it or not.
I think in order to get ready to prepare to worship when you go on Sundays, it has to be something that you deliberately do. It can't just be, let's go to church, especially when you have kids. There's so many things that can just get you upset or get you in a really bad mood. Between getting them ready to getting them to church and finding a parking space. And so you really have to be deliberate about preparing. And I just tell myself, okay, I'm not gonna look at who's leading worship. I'm not gonna deliberate over the songs that they chose. I'm not going to read my bulletin while I'm sitting through worship. I'm not going to go get a coffee before Miles starts his sermon. I'm going to try and be on time, and I'm just really going to give that to you because God deserves it.
I liken it to like guys and they go play sports and they don't just show up and then lace on their shoes, put on their jersey, and then jump in the game. You really got to like stretch out your muscles, and you have to prepare your heart. Your heart's a muscle, and you got to stretch it out before you get to worship. You have to calm yourself down and think about how God is good, all the things he's blessed you with, because worship is thankfulness, because God is worthy, and he's the man. Another thing is, if God's giving you a bad voice, give it right back to God. So for all of us who can't sing, some of us sing solo, so low that no one else can hear us.
Okay, jeez.
So we need
to, we need to give that voice back to God.
It's not God a joke time.
Here.
And this is why it's hard for him to worship, really. It's too ADD.
You have to leave yourself at the door. You have to really, what people say is like, you put that stuff at the feet of God, and whatever that posture looks like for you, if it's closing your eyes or if it's getting on your face, it's expressing that level of greatness that you know God is, and you just let that flush out however it is for you. So if it's like I said, you get on your face or you screaming out or you just sitting in silence and meditating on who God is and just the room's reflection of their worship of God, that often helps me get past myself. You know, I join the body of worshipers.
I find it really, really helpful to just kind of sit and be quiet before the Lord. And really take the thoughts that come and just let them go down the river, you know? And I just sit and I listen, try to just not worry about all the things that I have to get done.
Sometimes in order to get ready for worship, I've got to tell God I'm sorry about some stuff. Sometimes to prepare my heart for worship, I need to go to somebody else and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Need to get ready to walk into God's presence. He's real. This isn't some facet of our imagination. This is a real thing. And if I'm going to walk in front of God, I better be prepared to be in front of him. So I want to prepare myself relationally, that I'm right with the people around me. I want to prepare my heart. I want to be genuine when I'm with him. I've got to push away the things that hold me back. Some of the emotions or frustrations of life that just happen.
A mentor of mine said to me a long time ago, she said, Nova, maturity, in your relationship with God isn't looking or acting perfect or saying all the perfect things. Maturity is just knowing when you've left the heart of God, immediately knowing that you need to come back to it. So it's not... And I guess in regards to worship, that constant listening to the Holy Spirit, listen, if there is a tinge of unforgiveness, then forgive, because that blocks. Unforgiveness just blocks intimacy. I want to be intimate with my Savior, you know. I want to be romanced by the Lord.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. You've heard that worship is a response of respect at the revelation of God. You've heard that it's a spontaneous response. You heard that it's a spiritual response in truth, that rivers of living water from your heart need to flow to God. But more importantly, you've heard that there's opposition. The devil doesn't want it to happen, so he's going to distract your mind, he's going to distract your heart, your emotions, your feelings, sounds. You have to prepare. You have to get ready to release your soul to God. You have to get ready to release this fountain of living waters to God. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship. Right before worship, we're going to get ready. We're going to get our mind thinking about God. We're going to get our heart thinking about God. We're going to remove all the distractions, and then we're going to worship right now. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to pray with me out loud, all of you together. As we get our mind together and our heart right, pray this out loud. Say, Dear God, I focus my heart, I focus my mind, I focus my thoughts, I surrender my will all to you. Lord, take my heart. May rivers of living water flow from my heart right up to you. Jesus, I surrender my will. Jesus, I surrender my heart. Jesus, I glorify you. I magnify you. I worship you. I love you. Let's worship the Lord.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. Oh, it's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful cry. It's all our generosity. Worship him, church. Sing it out now. It's all God's children. You sing.